The topic this morning is prayer useful? Now, I believe that this is a question that many believers may have asked. Does prayer really help us to resolve our problems? How much do we believe in the power of prayer? Now, let's do a simple test here. Supposing right now, at this very moment, you are in deep, deep troubles. For example, for those of you who are studying, you failed the exam and cannot graduate. For those of you who are working, you just got fired. And those of you who are parents, you have a broken relationship with your children, or you yourself may have been diagnosed with serious illness. So, what is your first response when faced with this kind of life adversities? So, we have got three choices. A, immediately seek consultation with family members, friends, and/or experts. B is to do an arrow prayer. That means is just to say to God, oh, God, please help me. And then immediately go and find someone to think about solutions to the problem. And C, be still, focus on prayer, and wait for God's answer. Now, can I have a show of hands? Who will say, yes, C is my choice? Thank you. It's very common. Actually, in the Cantonese side just now, it's almost the same. This shows us that, in reality, most of us will not go to seek God immediately. Okay? Even if we do, we will just do a short arrow prayer, and then we'll proceed to find our solution ourselves, to resolve the problems. Now, but isn't the Bible said, when we pray to God for help, He will listen? If so, why is it that our first response to life issues is not to pray and to find God for His answer, but rather we'll go and seek help from our friends, relatives, or even experts? Why? This may be entirely due to our past experience. If we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that we may not fully believe that prayer can effectively help us resolve our problems. The prayer does not change our tough situations sometimes. Our relationships with children or with parents still remain poor despite how hard we pray. Or our health issues persist. The family member whom we have been praying for his or her salvation still rejects Jesus. So time after time, we pray, we wait, and nothing has been changed. Then we lose our faith in prayer, even though we know that as Christians, we should totally rely on God and do our prayer. And sometimes we get so frustrated and discouraged that we don't even want to pray, because to us, prayer seems to be useless. We have this reaction because we have misunderstood the true meaning and function of prayer, thus causing us to have a wrong expectation of prayer. So this morning, we are going to explore two questions. First, what is prayer? And then second, if prayer does not help us to resolve our problems immediately, so how should we continue to pray when we are waiting for God's answer? So let's learn from the parable. If I ask you, what is prayer? How would you answer? Anyone? Yeah, talking to God. True. Bingo. Yeah, most of us will say that, prayer is a talk to God. And it is the time when we bring our desires to Him and hoping that He will grant us our wishes. And in the parable, the widow pleaded with the judge to fight for justice for her. And Jesus uses her as an example, teaching believers to consistently and persistently bring their needs to God so that one day their needs will be fulfilled. Thus, in our mindset, we have this expectation that prayer is the channel for us to present to God with our needs, especially when God promises that if we pray to Him, He will listen. But our experiences tell us that we don't always get what we ask for, at least not immediately. No matter how sincere or how long our prayers are, our prayers seem to have fallen on deaf ear, and God is completely unresponsive to our pleading and crying. And in those circumstances, we are not only frustrated with prayer, but we are also disappointed with God because He has not kept His promise, we think. But brothers and sisters, do you see that our disappointment is primarily driven by what happens after prayer? When we pray, we tend to focus all our attention on changing the circumstances. We expect a certain outcome after prayer, such as our health issues will be gone or the family relationships get improved. When things do not turn out as we expect, we conclude that prayer is useless. And if we pray with this attitude, what we are doing right now then, we are actually turning praying to God into praying to the genie in the Atlantean lamp to satisfy our needs. God become the God with a small letter G in the lamp who is there to serve us by granting our wishes. When this genie does not do what we ask for, we criticize that this genie is useless, might as well get rid of the lamp. Now, may I ask you, should prayer to God be like a prayer directed to the genie in the Atlantean lamp? Should we expect God to be our servant, like the genie, coming out to do what we ask whenever we rob the lamb? And is this why God gives us the privilege to pray? So let's learn from the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane. Prior to his capture, Jesus prayed to God the Father and asked him to remove the cup of suffering. Yet right after his request, Jesus immediately said, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." Now, this statement fully expresses Jesus' obedience to God the Father. And we understand that obedience means complete surrender of ourselves by laying down our ideas, our desires, and even our self-preservation. And it basically means entrusting ourselves unto the Lord and letting Him take charge. And we often say that prayer demands obedience. If we are not obedient, there's no point of doing the prayer. Prayer will be ineffective and useless. So we think that obedience is a requirement of prayer. But have we ever thought that in God's design, obedience is actually the ultimate goal of prayer? And it is what God wants us to learn when we pray. And someone say, prayer is to focus on God and to correct our views. And in Jeremiah, God teaches that prayer is actually a window through which He reveals to us great and unsearchable things that we don't know. Do you believe in that? God will speak to us in prayer. And I can tell you, this is true. I can share with you my personal testimony. When I was studying in seminary, my grades were not too bad, above average. So I wondered whether I should apply for a scholarship at the seminary. For this scholarship is for students with a GPA of at least 3.7 to 4, which is A minus, right? Somewhere there, okay. So my fellow students encouraged me to apply. However, whenever I thought about applying, I didn't have the peace. So I kept on praying to God like for his guidance on this matter. So one day when I was doing my devotion, when I pray, and suddenly I heard a voice saying to me, "Why do you want to apply for the scholarship? Do you need the money for food?" I sincerely thank God, like, for his abundant provision that I don't have to worry about living. So I said, "No." The voice continued to ask, "Then why do you want to apply for the scholarship?" I was speechless, but then an idea or a word came to my mind. Recognition. I wanted to get recognized. That voice pressed on. "Isn't it enough for me to affirm you? Do you still want others to affirm you?" Though this happened 8 or 9 years ago, it's still so vivid in my mind. And God really hit me hard and with precision. At that very moment, I felt so ashamed, and I immediately knelt down before him and confessed my sin. And from then onwards, I dare not think about scholarship, as it is a mark of my sinful sense of pride. So, because of this experience, I can proclaim to you loudly that prayer is not newly natural, that we are the only one talking and God is quiet. Prayer, actually, is a two-way communication with God. In prayer, we confide to God about like what we think or how we feel, and at the same time, he reveals to us unsearchable things. But in order to have this kind of communication with God, we have to humble ourselves and make him the center of our lives. Let him ring our lives with his sovereignty. And we bow down to him, not only while we pray, but also in every single moment of our lives. So we say prayer actually is to surrender ourselves to God and to be taken wholly by him. In his design, prayer is not just for believers to send the SOS signals to him and dump all our troubles onto God. Prayer, in essence, is to offer all of ourselves as the living sacrifice. And the most important end product of prayer is not how much or what we can get from God, but is to let God to have more or all of us. And as a result, our souls will be meshed with God and we will conform with him. And God promised that when we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him and he will listen to our prayers. And when this happened, there will be no barrier between us and God, and we can truly sense his presence. It is almost like we can feel his heartbeat or even hear his breath. Even if he doesn't speak, we know where he wants, left or right, or if when he steps forward, we will retreat. When he turns, we will follow. A person who conforms with God may sometimes act impulsively when he encounters difficulties or challenges. But definitely, this person will go back to God and in his presence reflect upon the matter. Because what he cares is not what he can gain or lose in that matter, not the outcome, but rather he really cares whether he has sinned against God. And when he prays, he does not say, "God, this is what I want." Instead, he will say, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he perceives the world with a godly eye and seeks God's will in everything. So we say that prayer helps us to conform with God and gives ourselves wholly to him. Yet, this is not the end of it. Prayer also gives us a time of peace and rest when we struggle in life. Now, I'm sure you all agree that life is full of ups and downs. It's so stormy sometimes. And no one will live in a life that is free of challenges and troubles unless you are living in a bubble, okay? And in the midst of all these life storms, we get so frustrated, especially when we don't see a way out. We feel that life is dark and desperate, and we want to throw up our hands and say, I give up. But Lord Jesus said to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Through prayer, we let our exhausted body and soul rest in the Lord. And we take off our armor and open our hearts to confide with him. We pour out all that we feel, our hardships, our grievances, and indignation. And when we do that, we are released from our bitterness and regain power and strength from him to move on. Dr. Yun, our professor, points out that the primary focus of prayer is not whether we gain what we ask, but to regain strength and support in life. And prayer brings us back to God, who is the source of life, allowing his power to flow through us. So prayer serves as the harbor of peace, the safe haven for our souls in the midst of a storm, because we believe that God is in control with his almighty power. God created the heaven and earth with his words, so for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, and no one can change his plan. And that's why we cry out to him for help, because he's almighty. So when we do that, we are actually inviting the Almighty God to directly intervene in our lives and take charge of the results. And there are many incidents in the Bible to demonstrate that God listened to the prayers of his people and rescued them from harm. And one of the classic examples is that God parted the Red Sea to lead the Israelites out of Egypt through Moses. But today, when we read about all these miracles, we tend to see them as stories. We do not believe that this kind of miracles will be performed in our daily lives. But if we take a closer look around us, we may be able to see miracles are constantly happening around us. It's just that we take them for granted and not aware of them. Let me give you some examples, and you can ask yourself if you have ever experienced or witnessed this kind of coincidence. Sometimes we feel sad, we are sad and frustrated, yet we don't have anyone to talk to. We are all alone. So we pray to God, we say, oh God, it will be so good if you can come down and comfort me right now. So unexpectedly, we run into a sister who gives us a big warm hug. And then she cares about us and asks about, oh, how you are doing. Another incident is we lose our passport in traveling. Who has ever got this experience? Losing the passport? Oh, yes. See whether this is your experience. We lose our passport in traveling, and then we search and search everywhere in the hotel, and we couldn't find any trace of it, right? And then in desperation, because it's passport, right? We are traveling. So we pray to God in desperation. And after prayer, suddenly we find the passport in the small compartment of the luggage. Well, actually, there are lots of similar coincidences around us. We call them, or we say them, they are coincidences or luck. But are they truly coincidences or luck? A lot of these occurrences are things that happen because of God's intervention. He heard our prayers and he answered them. Now, some of you may ask, sure, it is true that some of these miracles may happen sometimes, but not all the time. They happen only when God grants them. And how many times have you prayed for better performance in your exam, but end up being disappointed? How many times have you prayed for improved relationship with your family members, spouse, or parents, but you still fight like cat and dog? And how many times have you prayed for reconciliation, but the other party turned their back on you? We have no guarantee on the fulfillment of our prayer. If so, how should we pray when we are waiting for God's answer? So let's go back to the parable and learn from the widow. In the parable, there was a helpless widow who went to a very unrighteous judge who did not fear God, nor did he respect people. And you can imagine he's the type of person who only went after his interests rather than others' need. And how could such an ungodly judge look after the helpless widow and fight for her justice? So basically, the judge completely ignored the widow's plea. Now, if you are the judge, if you are the widow, what would you do? Would you go to find someone else, another judge? I would, if I were her. But you know, strangely enough, the widow insisted to go to that judge who kept on ignoring her. Why? Now, some scholars believe that perhaps he was the only judge in town, so he was the only hope for the widow because there was no other choice. And the teaching of the parable rested on the judge's final reaction. He actually couldn't care less about what was happening to the widow, but he was bothered by her continuous pleading. Perhaps she was like another wife nagging him, or perhaps he thought that ignoring her might damage his reputation in town. So he granted the widow's wish, not to uphold justice, but to protect his own reputation. Through the story, Jesus reminds us that even a selfish, unrighteous judge answered the widow's plea, let alone our God Father, who is full of grace and mercy. Why would he not listen to our prayers? How can he not fulfill our pleas if our requests are in accordance with his will? So, when we are waiting for God to answer our prayers, we must learn from the widow in the parable to believe that God is our only hope and the only way out. Not our friends, not our relatives, not the experts. We need to focus on him in totality, in the same manner as the widow pleaded with the unrighteous judge. But Jesus reminds us that we need to pray and not give up. Sincere prayer requires to withstand the test of waiting for God to answer, because he is not the genie in the Aladdin lamp. God is the God who rings the earth and the heaven. He does not need to listen to us. Instead, it is we who must obey him and listen to him. We must learn to wait because it is his timing, not ours, that count. And the highest level of obedience is exhibited when we continue to be grateful and love the Lord, even when he gives us a no answer to our prayer. And this is the kind of faith that Jesus desired to see in us upon his return. So, for us as believers, prayer is just like our spiritual breath. It gives us life. It gives us strength to live. And the more we pray, the more strength we will have. Without prayer, we become weak, and our spiritual life will die sooner or later because we are separated from the Lord. So Christians should live a prayerful life. A believer who does not pray is a lifeless believer. A church without prayer is a lifeless church. And the Bible tells us that when we believers get together and pray, it is powerful and effective. So may I encourage all of you to go to attend the church meeting every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in Pastor Lancelot's office, right? So next Sunday morning at 10, we'll wait you to be there, okay? Let's do it together as to seek God in unity as one body. And may LGC be a church, be united in prayer. So in the end, what is prayer? If I ask again, it is a time when we are willing to put down our hands and let our soul work with God in unity. Because God says, be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this privilege to pray. Help us to have the right focus in prayer. Give us the humble heart to surrender ourselves to your will in prayer. Help us to accept your no answer with a grateful heart because you are our Lord. We ask all this in your name. Amen.